Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea, is here.
That's right.
Yay. And running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hi.
On today's show, Vicky will talk about Archer. It's back.
Is it the final season?
I think so.
Possibly.
Wow. Yeah. BJ will talk about Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe got some video game chat with Baldur's Gate 3.
I do.
And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or, you know, just type in BJ Shea's Geek Nation in any search bar on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Radio.com, and iTunes, and you will find us.
Exactly. And Vicky, don't go too far, because Archer is back.
Yay!
And he's out of the coma now, right?
Yes. Yeah, so this was the season we weren't supposed to have, because they're like, 10's going to be it. And right at the end of 10, so the last three seasons before this have all been in his coma dream world.
Mm-hmm.
First one being Dreamland, where he was a private detective. Second one being Danger Island, where he was like a pilot who was in the war, but like trying to find the idol and like a weird island.
Yep.
And then the third one was in space.
Just like Life on Mars. Had a very Life on Mars feel to it.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
Because it turns out that, you know, that was a story about a guy in another time, but he actually was really in space. So I like how they flipped it, where he basically was in a coma. Or asleep, if you will, and he was dreaming about being in space.
Although in that last season, has anybody here watched season 10?
The last one, the space one?
All of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so for those who don't know, and spoiler alert, it's all on Hulu right now. You can watch all the episodes, including the new ones, which is a new thing.
Oh.
I used to have to wait forever for it to come on Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu's got a lot of the FX shows, FXX and FX shows, like you said, the day after.
Yeah, or no, I think, I actually don't know what day it's coming out.
Either way, it's close.
I get the notification.
It's either day
of
or day after. They're pretty close.
So within that season, that's when his brain started kind of twitching and realizing that not everything was what it seemed like.
Yep.
And he was having visions of what they look like in real life. And at the very end, he gets out of his coma. So we're a few episodes in, and I am digging it because it's a new dynamic. He's been in a coma for 3 years, and everyone joked. It's like, this company would be much better if he wasn't around.
Yeah, it seemed like.
And it is.
Yeah, seems like it is.
It's a better work environment. Everyone's better physically, emotionally, mentally, and then he comes in and disrupts everything.
Yeah, and yet at the same time, it does feel like, how did they accomplish any of these missions without him? That's the thing, because they kind of still need him being an idiot in order to successfully figure stuff out. At least, and I've only watched the first episode, and that's what I got out of it, is like, yeah, they're all in great shape. They're all much better human beings. And yet, if not for him being there and, you know, being Archer, they don't get that mission. That first. So it's
at least in these current episodes, yes.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So, but it's a fun way to do it, and I don't know how long they're going to go after this, but it's a nice way to sign off. If this is a sign off, I'm glad this is the sign off and not last season, because this to me, out the way you came in,
absolutely agree with that. Yeah,
and even in the first episode, they're 4 episodes in at least. I think. I've seen 4 episodes. I should say, they are basically like, everything's the same. It's like, we're spies again. Yep. Like, just like that. Yep, because they had originally gotten arrested and charged for treason because they were basically spies without a license.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to be doing it.
You're not allowed to spy. What?
Yeah.
How's that work?
But it's pretty fun. There's new dynamics with different characters. Am I spoiling the first episode because we're a few episodes in?
Well, I feel like,
got
a month.
I'll say, Lana may have found love somewhere else, somewhere we would not have expected.
Oh, that was just funny. That was hysterical.
Just like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all the characters are fairly the same, you know, a few life changes, and they're like Cheryl is, or
better
Carol.
Cheryl.
Is better Carol.
Better
or Cheryl.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is Cheryl. Yeah.
It's both or whatever.
But yeah, right.
We're seeing characters we haven't seen in a minute. It's, or even some that were bad and now are good.
What? Oh, I haven't gone as far as she has with the episodes yet.
That is interesting.
I will say, as good as in BFF status.
Oh.
What?
It's just like, what? we did
even Cyril seems to have his act together.
Cyril Figgis.
I mean, at least physically.
All right, physically. Well.
Whoa. Yeah.
But we did get a guest star who I did not, I'm really good at picking up voices, and I'm pissed that I did not pick this up.
Oh, really?
So we know that the actor who played Woodhouse, which was his valet or his butler.
Yes.
Yeah, he passed away.
Passed away a few seasons ago, and he did pop in here and there, but they obviously used his, the voice, what they had recorded previously, but he needs a new valet.
Okay.
Is what they say. And so they, we got somebody who auditioned to be a valet. His name is Alistair, and everyone's really digging him for wanting him for the job. Guess what British actor that we all love plays him?
Ian McKellen.
No.
Oh.
Somebody, okay, I will say Alistair is very poised and kind of sexy.
Oh.
Tom Hardy.
But the actor.
Pierce Brosnan.
He's a good looking guy, but he's not what you would call sexy. Like, not what your first mind when you think of a British sexy guy.
These are tough clues.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Wait, no, he's sexy.
We did talk about the boys recently.
Oh, it's Carl Urban?
Mm-mm. Oh. He's sexy.
He is sexy.
The guy that plays Huey?
No, I think older.
Older? And the boys?
Oh, not Huey, but...
Simon Pegg?
Simon Pegg!
Oh, because he is Huey's father. Yes. And like, yeah, wow.
He's not, you know,
really? Simon Pegg.
That's cool.
And I was like, oh man, this voice is so hot. Like, my goodness. Like, okay.
Could you Star Trek or something, but crying out loud.
I was thinking of the nearest thing I thought. Like, what was the last thing I saw with him?
I guess the boys work because he's his character. And also,
it was modeled after
Huey looks just like him in the comics.
In the comics, yeah.
It was on purpose. But yeah, he plays Alistair, which looks like he'll at least be in the next episode. So who knows how long he'll stick around for, but I think that is so cool.
Wow.
Oh, you got it.
That is fun.
Love everything Simon does.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I mean, I skipped all of the weird dream archers, but I think I'll go back to this one.
Okay,
like, I really do enjoy the show.
And I enjoyed the Weird Dream Archers. I thought they were fun in their own way. I really appreciated them. I know it wasn't what everybody thought from the original stuff, but I actually really liked the diversion.
Out of all of them, I think the space one was the weakest.
Oh, and I like space, but that's because I like space.
I mean, I like the idea, but I feel like the episodes could have been better, and there could have been a few more fun episodes before they started kind of basically glitching out, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one, Dreamland's actually pretty fun. I liked it.
All right, then. Well, maybe. Well,
Danger Island's pretty funny, too. Okay.
There's so much TV, though. That's the problem.
Speaking of so much TV and another animated show, Lower Decks, we mentioned a little bit of it on Friday's show that you have been watching it. You've talked about it a little bit.
Yes.
But how's that been going? I know that you were kind of iffy on it because you weren't sure about an animated Star Trek series.
And it took me a couple of episodes to really get into it because it was... You know, Star Trek is a serious show, and therefore to have a character like Mariner, who just doesn't take the whole thing seriously, even though she's Lower Decks, it took me a while to go, okay, suspend your staunchiness, just let's go with what's happening.
Okay.
And then I would say by episode three, either three or four, they had me, because then you get to see the dynamic of Mariner and other people on the ship, and then... It is such a great satire of everything Star Trek. Like,
really?
They really, really go into this. And, gosh, I can't remember. McNeniman, I think, is the creator. Brian McNeniman, if not, I apologize for getting his name wrong. But it is brilliant, the amount of references that are made in this show, the Easter eggs for everything Star Trek. And yet, it is a modern animated comedy to the point it looks just like Final Space. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same artist.
It looks like a mixture of Final Space and if you guys have ever seen Total Drama Island.
Haven't seen that.
Yes.
It kind of has that vibe-ish, except the characters look a little bit more proportionate than they did on Total Drama Island.
And BJ, you were close. It's Mike Mahan.
Oh,
Mick
thank you.
Mahan. McMahon.
Mick Mahan.
Yeah,
McMahan.
Or McMahon, yeah. And whatever.
It's McMahan. Sorry, bro, we're killing your name. But
and McMahon, speaking of the perhaps. Boys, there's another boys character in this.
In
Lower Decks?
In Lower Decks.
Who's that?
Jack Quaid.
Oh, really? Who's he?
Really? Brad Bollmuir.
That's Jack?
Yeah, Jack Quaid.
Oh, so Huey, right?
Yeah.
Huey is Brad Boimler. I never even recognized it was the same voice. That's insane. Well, Brad Boimler is a major character. It's basically a show about Mariner and about Brad. And Brad is your staunch, like, you know, by the book, basically big ass kisser type of a Lower Decks, trying to be, you know, wants to be captain someday.
Sounds like a good role for Jack after seeing him as Huey.
Yeah. And Mariner is a really capable Starfleet officer that breaks every rule, but actually the rules she breaks are because she knows what she's doing. And it's really fun to basically see the life of all of the staunchy characters that we've known. And I say staunchy, you just know how people are on the bridge crew and all. And you get to see it from
like
the people
the
on the lower
officers,
decks.
Like the main officers. Yes. I have to be that.
Just because I'm getting confused with the word squanch from Rick and Morty. What does that one mean?
What's that?
Now I'm thinking squanch.
What did I say?
Squanchy? No.
Staunchy?
Staunchy. Oh, what does that mean?
Oh, sort of like stuck up, stiff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just thinking squanch, so I just wanted to clarify.
It's not the same thing. But it's a really cool, fun show, and if you're a Trek fan, there's so much in there. If you're not a Trek fan, it doesn't matter. It's just funny. You get the idea that these guys are serving on a spaceship, and the officers are all these overblown squanchy. And
squanch.
There was some great episodes where, you know, Mariner was given the opportunity to be an officer. And she said, I don't want to be an officer. It's so boring being an officer. And every darn thing that happened in Star Trek The Next Generation, what the officers did for fun, Lower Decks has real fun. What do the Upper Decks do? They do everything that's like...
They do historical reenactment crap.
Exactly. So she was falling asleep during all the meetings, like the Picard-style meetings. This is so boring! And they're like, so anyway, what we have to do. And so all the characters are doing that.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to have a fun night. It's going to be a poetry reading, and then someone's going to play their piccolo. And that was totally like what
Terrible.
Was from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, someone's playing a piano title, Data's reading something, and she's like, this is the worst ever. And that's how they punished her. They made her an officer, because she would keep breaking the rules. And so they said, we'll make her an officer. That'll show her. Because she loved every stupid, crappy job they gave her.
And to be perfectly honest, if I was a lower ranked military personnel, or maybe somebody else who isn't military, just a civilian, and I had a chance to go to the holodeck, you bet your damn ass I'm going to be doing some weird stuff in there.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be hilarious.
Oh,
I mean,
come on! Would you have a character by the name of Badgie, who looks very similar to Clippy from the old Microsoft Word, but it's it's a Star Trek communicator badge.
Really?
Who goes nuts. So
awesome.
Badgie's there to help everybody out. Hi, I'm Badgie. What would you like to know about the holodeck? And then Badgie loses his S because, as in Star Trek, when something goes wrong with power, the holodeck flips out. Next thing you know,
you've
got Moriarty, but instead of Moriarty, it's Badgie who's trying to kill everybody.
Okay, this sounds irreverent and fun enough.
Very irreverent and fun.
I really want... Is it on CBS All Access?
Yes.
Okay, this is something I'm going to have to check out.
Yeah, it's really well done. And if you're a Trek fan at all, you're going to smile at all of the Easter eggs in there. All of the Easter eggs. They really, really do a good job, and it's called Star Trek Lower Decks. This is the yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Wait, what day is today?
Today is Monday.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week was the final episode of their premiere season.
Oh.
And people were bummed, like, only 10 episodes? Come on, man. But it's very, very fun show. If you're a Trek fan or not, you're going to dig it.
And that's perfect. You can binge season one, and hopefully they'll make more later on.
Well, that's the hope.
Right. Always the hope. Something that's very interesting, I didn't even realize they were doing this, was that Baldur's Gate has come out with their third, and I'm very interested in this because it's at early access right now, and Joe, you've had a chance to play it.
I have.
This is a video game, right?
It is a video game.
Good job.
And now I'm interested in it because it's early access, but it's early access because people can buy it, and this is the reason why they get early access?
Yeah, so you can buy the full game, but you only get access to their essentially beta, if you will, because it's not all done yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to not have all the classes, and you're not going to have the full storylines. But other than that, you'll have everything.
And for Baldur's Gate 3, which you can go to baldursgate3.game, it says, an ancient evil has returned to Baldur's Gate, intent on devouring it from the inside out.
Whoa.
The fate of Faerun lies in your hands. This sounds fun.
Yeah, so for you guys who don't know, Wizards of the Coast owns a lot of the D&D properties.
Mm-hmm.
That's their whole lore, all of that. They sold the rights to some of their campaigns and stuff like that to Larian Studios, who then does Baldur's Gate and produces these games. What they essentially are is a giant campaign that you can build a character for and go play with your friends, similar to what you would do with D&D.
I remember this. This game's been around for this franchise has been around for a while.
Exactly,
video games.
Yeah. So this particular game that came out has had a lot of time put into it, and from what I've been told, the player decisions that you get, there are so many of them that the replayability is incredible in comparison to their other ones. So that's kind of the big hype around this and why this early access is so important, because people are finally seeing, wow, I really can customize my character to a point that I couldn't before. I can do things and actions that I couldn't before.
And this is an interesting point on this as well, as you're talking about this, because you're creating your character at the beginning, but some people are literally like on Twitter saying, if you're not creating your normal D&D character on Baldur's Gate 3, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
I couldn't believe it, because I've played some D&D sessions, but again, that's the whole problem of finding a good DM and stuff, and it wasn't always easy. And then, plus, it's like overwhelming if you don't know what you're doing when you open the book and you're looking at spells.
They're literally textbooks.
Yeah.
Like, and so if you're into reading textbooks, not a whole lot of people are, you'll just basically put a, like, oh, I need to look at spells. Well, I'll look at that later.
So imagine all of that put into a video game, like, with a UI that's incredible, an interface that is clear, cut, crisp, has all the stuff for you, rolls all the dice for you, gives you all of the descriptions, and it's beautiful. Go watch the cinematic for the BG3 spoiler, like, essentially their first one that they released. You're going to get, like, blown away to the point where you're like, oh man, this might be bad. Because what they do is you go on your D&D quests, and then as opposed to having a DM tell you what happens, they literally just play cutscenes for you over and over and over again.
Wow.
To the point where it's like you're watching a movie and playing a game. And I got to tell you, from the first 45 minutes I played, I am very excited to see this full game. And I assume probably about a year you'll get full access to everything.
Because
for now, they're kind of being like, hey, guys, can you tell us how many people we can have on our servers before we crash the game? but, man, just imagine Diablo meets D&D, and you've got it.
So in. I am so in on that. And right now, it's available on the Google Stadia, if you have that. Also on Steam. And then if you don't want to go through Steam, you can also do it at GOG.com. So basically PC or Stadia at this point in time. And don't know, like you said, it's early access. They don't actually have a full announcement when they're going to put it out. And it's beta. So it usually, and you kind of hopefully when it's ready is when you want to. So very hopeful on all of that.
Yeah, again, they do anticipate releasing it eventually, but you know, they tell you right as you join in the screen, hey, this is a beta, there's going to be bugs. Please don't pretend like this is the actual game. Understand we're testing it because we want you to get hyped and excited and understand that what the core of it is going to be.
And you're building up the hype at this point in time also to do stuff like server, to see if there's going to be enough server load, like if they can handle all of that. What's going to happen when a billion people show up in one spot?
Yeah, and you can do multiplayer online and invite three of your friends to join your campaign.
Dude, that's so cool.
And they can hop in and out at any point because the actual story itself is driven all one way, except that, of course, you make the decisions in the exact moment. So you literally could kill a character on accident or build a new character and then, you know, halfway down the line, maybe introduce a different character and be like, well, it's fine.
Wow.
So it's going to be exciting.
I love that. This is one of those ones that it'll bring me into more PC gaming. I don't do a lot of PC gaming anymore, so this will get me into it. Going from the role-playing games to the fighting games, I love this because Mortal Kombat has been doing stuff where they'll just release all sorts of crazy characters, and a lot of people have been clamoring for the Twin to Katana, Melina. And they haven't shown her, and she was originally in MK2, and it's the same thing that they would do in the first one where they just kind of palette swapped ninjas, and she was the one with the size, and then we find out that she actually has a big old fangy face and is kind of terrifying. And they just released a trailer for MK11 Ultimate that brings Melina, brings two other characters. One of them is not even a part of the MK universe. It shows a character named Rain, who is another palette swap ninja, basically. But since they've been able to kind of go nuts and be able to have, hey, everyone gets their own character, body and all of that stuff, they don't have to do all of that. So they have that character who looks super badass, starts fighting Melina, and then all of a sudden they stop fighting and they're like, who are you? Well, turns out Rambo is joining the fight.
What?
Yes. Now, they've done this in the past with both, like, Freddy and Jason from the horror movies, and they've done some other stuff before. And this is really strange because he is, like, he comes out with his big old machine gun from, I think First Blood Part 2. He starts, gooda, 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 gooda. You don't see any of the brutality or anything like that, but you have to imagine if he's got the gun in the trailer, that's probably going to be his fatality. And something even better on this, guess who's voicing Rambo?
Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
Yes!
Oh,
yes.
Wow. He's actually going to be voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
I was going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger because I think that'd be funny.
That would actually be super, super funny. But nope, nope, nope. It looks like, yep, it's going to be Rain, Melina, and John Rambo as playable characters in MK11 Ultimate.
Wow.
It's so dumb.
Not what I would have guessed, but I like it.
Right? Like, I'm super happy for that. Like, it's silly and it's fun. And I don't even play Mortal Kombat anymore, but I literally will just sit there and I'll watch the YouTube videos of the fatalities because they are absolutely ridiculous. MK11, it arrives. You can get it for PS4. Eventually PS5, Xbox One, the Xbox Series XS, and all those things. You can even get it on Nintendo Switch. Oh. So, you know, it's always fun. So when you're not playing Animal Crossing, you can play Mortal Kombat.
Of course.
Now it is time to get to...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
What's going on, Vicky?
All right. Rev, I think, is the only one here that actually enjoys horror movies.
Oh, I love them. I love scary movies. Just spent the weekend with the Bone Bat Film Festival online, sitting at home.
Oh, I thought you were talking something very disparagingly about somebody you were sitting with. Don't call anybody a Bone Bat, especially if it's your significant other.
No, it's a great podcast with my brother Steve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so don't even worry about all of that. I was just sitting at home, you know, safe. In the comfort of my own home, no pants, watching some horror movies.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But that sounds very horrifying, actually.
I actually enjoy you as a coworker, but I did find you another job.
Excuse me?
Oh, this is a good call. I mean, we're going to miss you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Actually, this is like you could do this in like a day or two. So, I mean, it'll be a side hustle, if you will. But a company is willing to pay someone $1,000 to watch horror movies.
That's a lot of money. Right.
So, I mean, it's like, are you tired of watching Hocus Pocus over and over again? Is Beetlejuice not scary enough for you? CableTV.com and HighSpeedInternet.com are looking for one lucky, or unlucky if it was me,
right,
person to just plop down on the couch and get paid to binge watch 24 hours worth of horror movies.
Oh, that's straight? That's a lot.
Like, do we have to binge it straight?
While you're watching the scary movies, you must live tweet the marathon, which is what the entry form kind of dictates. And in exchange between watching 12 to 16 movies, you'll get about $1,000 and $50 Starbucks gift card. Oh, and candy.
Oh, and candy.
And candy.
Well, all right then. You're going to need that Starbucks gift card.
Yeah, I'm going to need it for the coffee.
Right. And of course, candy.
Because now that it feels at that point that, yeah, they want me to do it 24 hours straight. And you know what? For $1,000, I'll do it.
Woo! All right, well.
You just watch like all the Saw movies, and you watch all the Friday the 13th movies, and then the all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and then I'm done.
Yeah, you got to give it a 12, yeah. About 12 movies should do it, I think. Maybe 12 to 14.
Yeah, hey, paying you over $40 an hour.
Yeah, whoa.
And I'm not, it doesn't say anywhere where that it has to be in a row, or.
Well, if you're live tweeting, I would imagine.
Right, yeah.
If it's a marathon. Oh, wait, they say a marathon, so they pick it. It's their marathon, and you've got a live tweet.
Do I gotta be? I mean,
oh boy,
there's some really interesting horror movies. I don't know if I'd be down for, but yeah, you know what?
You're gonna have to be.
Well, that's fine. I can still watch horror movies.
No, it says I think you can pick any of them. It says so hop on Shudder, Prime Video, Screambox, Netflix, or any streaming service, and start dreaming of what you'll screen if you win. So any kind of movies, all that stuff.
You get to pick at least, but maybe they'll show them as a marathon. And everybody can watch them with you, maybe? I don't know.
I guess. You just have to really just live tweet it. And in order to apply, you have to fill out the information form. I must say, I've seen these before. This is not the first time this company has done this, or both companies, because I did the Friends one. I applied to watch Friends for a certain amount of time. And I think the way they specified it is you had to watch a certain amount of episodes in a certain amount of time.
Oh, okay. That's better.
So I think you had like 2 or 3 days. They did not pick me. Because they don't say it's required. But they do say a video helps. But they did not pick me, and I'm very upset.
Oh.
Because I am the biggest.
You are the Friends Queen.
I'm the Friends Queen. I can tell you everything.
Yep. Looking at it right now, you get to decide what you watch.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 to 16 movies. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do this.
All right. Just apply. I mean, why not? It's $1,000. There's your holiday shopping. The $50 gift card to Starbucks is your coffee you can watch during. And then who doesn't want candy?
Full name.
I want candy.
So while Rev does this, I know Rev, you obviously either like or have watched and or played Resident Evil.
Yes.
Joe, I believe this is the same. You've played.
That is correct.
You've seen the movies?
I have watched Lilo Dallas.
And you've seen the movies. I've seen the first 10 minutes of the first one.
Oh, hey, look, that's 10 minutes more than I thought you would.
I think. I did not like. but did you know they're doing a reboot already?
Reboot of the entire series?
Yes, the Resident Evil reboot.
When
they have the
first
cast.
One drop, was it like, I would say it's early 2000s.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Because Mila Jojovich, or Jojovich, however I always get her name wrong, but I think they were riding the coattails of her Fifth Element success, and that was 97.
2002.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Whoa, that movie. Oh, wow. The Resident Evil series has made over $1 billion.
A lot of money.
Now you know why they're going to reboot it.
Yes, and the last movie they came out with was in 2016. So it's not that long ago.
So Danny DeVito is going to be getting the lead role, right?
Yes. He'll That's look hot character. In that red dress.
Yes.
They needed to, by the way, because they kind of blew up the world. Like, everything got terrible.
Yeah, and they're still making video games. And I know they really like pairing the video game with the movies because they do so well together. Mm-hmm. So this makes sense they'd reboot it, to your point, because there's no world to go back to in the movies.
Spoiler. I will say, though, I feel like, I know BJ for sure. I don't think you're going to have a problem with this cast.
Oh, really? Okay, who do we got?
So, first being Kayla Scodelario.
Do I know her?
Did you watch The Maze Runner?
I did.
She was the girl in The Maze Runner.
Oh, really? Kayla was cool in that movie.
She was also in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, which was...
That was your movie. You'd have to make the call on that.
I mean, it's kind of like Fast and the Furious. Yeah. Like, you're not in it because it's going to be great. You're in it because you're just going to have a good time and be done with it and probably never see it again.
Or maybe you're just in it to win it. Think
and also,
because
it's my dad and I's thing.
That's it.
She is set to play Claire Redfield.
Okay, this could be a great role for her if it turns out to be successful, or at least a good moneymaker if they can keep high on her back.
And this one, I think BJ was recently raving about, and he really likes this actress.
Oh, I know.
Hannah John Kamen.
Oh, I like Hannah John a lot. Well, she wasn't who I recently raved about, but I have raved about her in the past.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yes. She was Ghost.
Killjoys.
Oh,
and Killjoys.
Yeah.
And wasn't she in something else recently that you were digging? Was it Euphoria?
Oh, gosh. I forget where I saw her. It might have been Brave New World. I can't remember. I've seen Hannah. I think it was Brave New World. She was actually, I think she was one of the people in Brave New World, though I have not watched beyond the first episode, unfortunately.
Yes, you are correct on that. She was in Brave New World and Killjoys.
Yeah, she's good. And she was on a great episode of Black Mirror. I mean, I forget which one, but she was in it. There's the one where the guy was like a video game tester and she was his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. That one was nuts. Yeah, he goes in and, it's a whole thing. Yeah.
So
that's a spider one.
She's actually expected to be taking on the role of Jill Valentine, one of the original characters in the first Resident Evil video game.
Oh, so they're going really back into it and resetting it.
I don't know much about Jill Valentine. Do you know her?
I think just more along the lines of not so much, but
does she kick ass?
Oh, they all do.
Okay,
and it's
good.
More along the lines of keeping it more in line with the actual games, which would make more sense. If they keep it like to the towns, like Joe was saying, and don't turn it into the worldwide epidemic that it really was in the movies, I think that keeps the horror even better at that point.
Yeah, I was wondering, what are they classifying it as? Because they went from horror movies more to action movies when they kind of progressed in the series. So I'm wondering if they're going to go back to that original, like you said, more horror-ish. They're in a small town, houses. They discover an underground laboratory where they're getting tested on, and then zombies break out, as opposed to the ones where it was like, they're in the desert, and the world's gone, and there are zombies everywhere.
And they're being chased by murder crows.
Yeah.
So that's like Mad Max Resistance.
Kind of,
Resident Evil, really, Resistance. But Resident Evil, Mad Max, a lot of tropes seem to be thrown into that world, but... You know, successful when you consider it, because the games came first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So how many movies do you know are successful from video games? That's why I give Resident Evil credit, because there weren't that many that you could point to, and at least, Resident Evil was.
Yeah. Oh, fantastically.
Cold following, for sure, too.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, go back a few episodes ago, and one of my Geek Sheets, we did talk what bad movies produce good video games.
We did, and sometimes it does happen.
Okay.
do want to quickly run down the list. We got Robbie Amell.
Oh, Robbie Amell, who's in Upload.
Mm-hmm. And he was in The Flash. Tom Hopper from Game of Thrones and Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
And a few other people I don't know. Neil McDonnell. He was in Minority Report.
Oh, Neil McDonough. He was also a bad guy in Arrow.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And he's done a lot of
other
cool stuff, too. But he was recently, last time I saw him, was a bad guy in Arrow.
You said Tom Hopper, and I'm like, I'm in.
Yep, she's in.
I love me some Tom Hopper.
Yeah, you do.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.